Hallelujah. I want to say good morning and welcome to Only Believe right here at Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I got to tell you that even with all that weather out there, we're going to celebrate the fact that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So I pray to God and bless all of you who are watching us online today and who did not brave the weather. And I got to tell you something, there's a lot going on out there. Amen. So we're just glad to be together both online and here in person. And we are just thankful for God's goodness. So we're going to step into worship and we're just going to appreciate what God has done for us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, stand to your feet with us if you can.
Take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. Mighty in here, we know that there are people watching, and right now we just take time to say we thank you, Lord God. We just worship you this morning. Lord, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful that we get to either get up and just be able to watch this on live stream, or we're able to come in. Father, either way, we're here. We're here to worship you, Father God. When we come into the house, we don't want to take for granted that there's a place to worship you. There are some countries that have no place to worship you. But Father, here we do. And Lord, let us take full advantage. We want to let you know that we love you and that we glorify your holy name, Lord God. We know that you are in the middle of every battle that we've had. You're not in the middle. You are before. You have gone before. You're at the end of that thing. And you have seen the end to the beginning. And you know victory has been ours because victory is yours. And Father, we just thank you this morning. I just give you glory. I just give you glory. You are worthy to be praised. And Father, we just lift you up. We just lift you up and give you awesome. You are just, there is nobody like you, God. You're an awesome God. The love, the mercy, the grace, the patience that you have for us. You're matchless, God. You're matchless. Nobody, nothing comes close. Nothing. Nothing. We just honor you this morning, God. We just honor you. This isn't just another service. Just this isn't another song service. This is worship, Lord, to you. This is us saying that we thank you. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you from where you brought us from and where you're taking us to. We just give you glory this morning, Lord, for everything. Everything. Through the trials, through the tribulation, through the good times, through the times that we've been just more on fire for you than we ever have. We thank you through it all. We thank you through it all. Worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
presence is an open door. So come now, Lord, like never
reach out to Him. Whatever you need is in His presence. Whatever you need is in the Word of God. Jesus, we worship Your name. Oh, there's healing, there's wisdom, there's restoration. Oh, we worship You, we give You praise. Oh, this morning, if there's a dry bone in your life, but there's a dry bone in your family, the Lord has given you the authority to speak Jesus over every place, over every circumstance, over every situation. He's given it to you, and He says we're going to do greater things than those in the days of the Bible did. Those are things that Jesus did then, that we would do greater things. So speak to those places. He hasn't forsaken you, even if it's a dry place. He said to speak to those dry bones, and they will live this morning. Sing not for a minute, not for a minute. Was I forsaken? The Lord is in this place. The Lord.
You never let go, never let go, never let go. You pull me in close, pull me in close, pull me in close. And I will rest in you. You're my peace, you are my refuge. Under the shelter of your wings, God, you're the promise I hold on to. You never let go.
Cantankerous, you stayed and you brought us out. Your love is beyond what we can imagine, God. Father, we just thank you. I feel like you're doing it again this morning. There's somebody on live stream that's watching. Saying, I don't know much more I can take. I don't know how much longer I can hold on. God's coming into it, in your situation right now. Just lift your hands, surrender to him. And say, God, I give it to you. I've tried it my way. Now, God, I'm trying it your way. Just help me. Send me people to talk to. I receive what you're doing in my life right now. You feel his pull. He feels your hopelessness. But there's hope. There's hope in Jesus. And I think even right now, that hopelessness is lifting off of you. And you know it, you sense it, you feel his presence. Listen, that isn't you, that's him. He's coming in to rescue you. Just give in. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I just feel like we should give the Lord just a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Woo. I tell you what, faith is not a feeling, but I love it in worship when you can sense the presence of God. Amen. I tell you what, there's a reverencing presence of his spirit here, and I love it because the Bible says that in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. Amen. And also in the presence of the Lord is healing,
yes,
deliverance, yes, and victory. Amen? Amen. So I'm thanking God that those things are being released in us even right now. And I hope that, you know, there are some people out there that we've been praying for that are going through some sickness and battles and stuff. And I just believe that we're just going to hear person after person is going to get a breakthrough even today and this week. Amen?
Amen. I feel like there's some people that have been delivered.
Amen.
And have been set free.
Amen.
But have hit this icy patch where they feel like they're sliding and they're out of control. Mm-hmm. You know, we all get there. Like, you see us shaking our head, it's because we've been there. Amen. Like, I don't know if you can see the congregation, but there's many shaking their head because Amen. We understand what this is. It's just something, it's a distraction. It's what it is, it's a distraction.
Amen.
Slide Thanks, on. God will get you. Amen. God will catch you. God has you. It's just a moment where the enemy's Amen. Trying to bring distraction in and trying to get you to fall off of who you are in Christ. He don't want you peaceful. He don't want you joyful. He don't want you victorious. He can't be, so he don't want you to be.
Amen.
Understand that when trial comes, it's either one of two things. It's you not doing what you're supposed to do. Or it's just an attack of the enemy. Figure out which one it is. Sometimes we beat ourselves up and it's truly just an attack. Sometimes Amen. We're blaming the enemy and truly it's just us needing to get up and do something.
Amen.
Get on your knees.
Amen.
Pray. Get in the word. Like sometimes it's just us, but sometimes it is the enemy.
Amen.
And we need to recognize discernment. Yep. We need to have discernment. Amen. But Praise we need God. Not get discouraged.
Amen.
And back off
in
of what
any
God's
case,
doing. Amen.
Don't get discouraged. Lean into the Lord. Remember, the Lord says that those who seek me, they shall find me. Amen? And when you find God in your situation,
Amen.
Supernatural turnaround belongs to you.
Amen.
You know, even sometimes we get reports that can just hit us, and they're going to because they can be negative reports that are not good. But the Bible says, whose report will you believe? Amen? So even when you get a report that's not the best, catch yourself in that moment. Say, nope, I'm going to still believe in my God. Amen?
Amen?
Because he brings us through. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Now, you guys Amen. Know that we are not supposed to be with you today. Amen. But
this is the second time a trip to Aruba's gotten canceled on me. Just so y'all know that if you Ooh. See me a little salty.
Amen.
Ooh. Although I've gotten over it because, you Amen. Know, I've seen just too many other things yep. that I have too much to be grateful for
Amen.
Than
Amen.
To be salty over not being able to go on a trip.
Amen.
Like, mm-hmm. we are so blessed beyond blessed in this
yes,
country.
Yes, we are.
Like, there's Amen. Just no reason to be upset because something doesn't go our way.
Amen.
Plus, Praise we're leaving God. On the 20th of
exactly.
February. So
I think that's what your problem is. Sometimes you're so used to everything going right and everything
Agreed.
Being blessed and everything being
Agreed.
Given to
No,
us,
I do.
That
Agreed.
One little shakeup can cause us to say,
I agree
Whoa.
That's a lot of our problems.
Amen.
I agree
Amen.
That we're a fast food nation and
blessed.
We think everything should be here and now. Mm-hmm. And when we have to wait on something
Amen.
Or when we have to fight for something,
Amen.
Sometimes we falter because we're not used to yep. it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got, now I'm not saying you all.
Amen.
I'm saying this country
Amen.
As a whole.
Yeah.
And I think it's time to stand up.
Amen.
Or not stand up. Get on your knees.
Amen.
Because standing
Amen.
Up,
Amen.
Only after you've been on your knees is going to do any good. Amen?
Absolutely. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. We
Hallelujah.
Missed you all. We really did. Like, this
yes.
is good for him because he does not like to miss two Sundays anyway in a row.
Ooh.
So even though he's a little frustrated that we didn't go, he's like, yes, I'm going. Amen. Yes, I'm. He's not going to preach to you today.
Right.
We're going to go ahead and follow.
I didn't feel like I should completely change things.
Right.
But we definitely wanted to be here with you, and we're excited about that. And I want to remind you that next week we're going to celebrate our 10th year anniversary. Amen. We started this church by the Spirit of the Lord on February 6, 2011. That was our first Sunday morning service. Amen. So 10 years in one day, we get to celebrate our 10th year anniversary by the grace of God. So we're going to do that, and we're going to celebrate Sunday morning. And then at 6 p.m., even though it's Super Bowl Sunday, praise God, we're going to have a 6 p.m. celebration service. Amen.
It gives you plenty of time to get home.
Hallelujah. So that'll still give you time to get home to watch the Super Bowl if you want. But I'm expecting you all to be here. And it's funny because someone even said to me, do you think it's a good idea to have a service on Super Bowl Sunday? And I said, well, you thought it was a good idea for us to start on Super Bowl Sunday. And so if we could start the church and have our first service on Super Bowl Sunday, amen, we ought to be able to have a 10th year anniversary on Super Bowl Sunday. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We have some good memories through these years.
Yes.
Amen.
And we're going to talk. I'm going to share a little bit of that in our story and history. And we're just going to be thankful for the goodness of God and what we're looking forward for Him to do going forward. And then we want to remember that the very week after that, we have the marriage conference.
Yes, the 12th and 13th. 8 o'clock here on Saturday night, and then 10 on Sunday. Amen. So if you haven't and you want to come, sign up. What did I say? Saturday and Sunday? You know. I'm supposed to be in Aruba right now, laying on the beach.
Woo.
And if you didn't tell last week, my son takes after me.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah, absolutely. Amen.
He might look like his father, but watch out.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Philip's like, oh, Lord, please help me.
Hallelujah.
You know, we have people that come in here that don't realize that that's our son.
Yeah.
I don't know how you don't know that's not Phil's son. But there are people that come in here and say, especially little kids, for some reason, we don't have kids. I don't know why little kids think we don't have kids. And then we say, that's our son right there. That's my baby. No, it's not. They fight us.
Oh, yeah, they do. Philip is your son. Oh, yeah. That's funny.
Philip. Yes. Big head, big head.
Hey, watch
I'm just kidding.
Handsome, handsome. Praise
we
God.
Haven't seen you.
Praise God.
You got a little mix of me in there. You definitely are better looking than your father.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. No, we missed y'all. We really did. We watched you as much as we could. We apologize to live streamers and people who watch online. We promise. Even during service, have been on talking with our internet provider, trying to figure out what the issue is. Yeah. So we're working on it. Amen. We're going to get it. It's going to get where it doesn't make any hiccups during the service, so just know we're working on it, but we apologize. So we do have another little hiccup. Because we're leaving on February 20th, that changes the date for our new members class. So we will come back with the date on our new members. It won't be the third Saturday in February because we won't be here. So we'll change that.
And we'll work with you.
Yep.
And
eventually, it's not ever going to work. We'll have other people that teach it too,
so
it won't be a big deal. But right now, we don't have that, so you got to get on that.
Hallelujah!
Put it on your to-do list.
Amen.
You got it. Yeah. Is that the only thing on your to-do list right now?
Yes, amen. Praise God.
I'm telling you, He's cleared off everything all week. It's like, okay, so the reason we didn't go is because when you have to get tested before you go into certain other countries. And we had to get tested before we went in. And I tested positive. And I didn't think I had any symptoms. I said, the only thing I have is sinus infection. Well, Marie just said that that's one of the new symptoms. But then there's another lady in Aruba that I said that to, said, I had a sinus infection, and I tested negative. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
But we stayed home, obviously, to keep everybody safe.
What did your husband test?
He tested negative. But
I'm just saying.
He took me somewhere.
Yeah,
that
so
caused me to test positive,
it still
so it's still
fault.
His fault. We've had quite the conversation about
anyhow,
this.
But I liked it because we got to quarantine and stay close.
So our quarantine is over. Amen. We're better. We're here. Mm-hmm. We're ready to go. What else do we got going on? We're just excited to see y'all. Did I say that already?
Yes.
And we just really are excited to see you all. And all you that are online, we're glad you're home. We're glad you're safe. And we're glad you're watching us. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. I think that's all I got.
And then we're going to continue the service. And then we're going to pray for people at the end. Anybody feeling sick? And we're definitely going to have a special prayer for Bob today. And he's got some challenges out in front of him, but God's going to help us. And so I'm just going to get out of the way, and we're going to continue the service.
You didn't see it? Oh, is we good? Am I on? Can you hear me? Good? All right. Well, my dad came in. I was kind of, trying to snake out of all the extra stuff. No, I'm just playing. But I did also think about, my message I was talking about is going to be, I was thinking about, coming in sweatpants and a hoodie. But then I found out they were coming in, so I was like, probably shouldn't test that out too much. But anyway, so for offering, I only really have one verse that says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Amen.
So with that, obviously we know that our tithes are already God's, so we just give our tithes. But when we go to give our offering, God wants us to remember that we should always go to God with a request. Like Thursday night when I said to put offering in as a seed for somebody that you were believing to be here Sunday, and I know that with the weather and everything, I probably threw a little hitch in everybody's plans, but I just wanted us to always be mindful of when we give above our tithe to not just do it out of a routine, to always make sure that we pray over it, that we fast for it, that we hold on to whatever promise that we're believing God's going to create or give to us or open up in those moments and in those givings. So that's really all I had for offering this morning. It was short, sweet, and to the point. So we're going to set the offering buckets out, and I'm going to pray. Father God, I just thank you for the offering this morning, Lord God. I thank you that you bless the people who can give, Lord God. I thank you that you bless the people who can't. And Lord, I just thank you that as we give, Lord God, that every request, every desire, everything that we attach to our offerings, Lord God, and that you just meet it in your way, in your plan, in your design. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. It's in here somewhere. Hold on just a second. I'll make sure I know where I'm starting. It's been a very interesting process with this because it's something that I've always claimed, and my dad's going to laugh when he hears the title of my message today, but it's something that I've always claimed, but I never really took to the full meaning or understanding or the different aspects of what this was. And so the title of my message today is Living in the Blessing. Hence why I thought I might just wear sweatpants and stuff and, try to get away with living in the blessing. But since they're here and, not in Aruba, I've decided that probably wasn't the best idea. My mom might not live very long. But so there's a scripture I wanted to start with, and it's in John 14:12, and it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that the works that I do shall he also do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So Jesus already said it out for us before we were ever even here, that everything that he did while he was there, we can do and more. So with living in the blessing, basically how I always pictured it was, I get to live off of the blessings that my Father already earned in his life. The stuff that he had to work through, the stuff that he had to deal with, I don't have to deal with, because he already went through it. I learned before I had to go through it the hard way. Not in everything, but in most stuff. So when I think about living in the blessing, I think about the fact that Jesus told us that everything he's done, we can do and more. It just kind of made me think and really sit down and think, what is it to truly live in the blessing? Because for the longest time, I thought it was living off of what my parents had already done. But when you really think about living in the blessing, we automatically get that once we get saved. We have that opportunity. Because you look at everything that happened in the Old Testament, what they did without the Holy Ghost. Now we have the Holy Ghost. Now, everything that they did, their ceiling, their highest points in the Old Testament became the base floor once Jesus came, died, and rose. So I wanted to read a story, which when we read the story, we always think about how the choices that they made. But I looked at it a little differently this time around, and it's Luke 15 and verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and divide unto them.' And he divided unto them his livings. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Now, when I read that with this mindset, I started to realize that can be us at times. We get to a point with walking with God that we stop understanding what blessing we actually walk in. And we start trying to take over ourselves, and we try to walk stuff out ourselves. The son, at some point, came to a point where the way he was living just didn't satisfy him anymore. It became mundane. It became just day-to-day life, and he never stayed in awe of where he was at. Like, sometimes we lose the awe of who God is, because we're so used to living with the blessing. We're so used to living with the way that we're taught here and the way that it's set up, and when we learn and we get in, then we dive into the scriptures. We're so used to having that sometimes we forget the importance of having it in every situation we get into. So it goes on, and it said, "And when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to the citizens of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks and the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger.'" So he obviously came to that point that he understood. But sometimes we get to that point where we're trying it on our own. We get to the end of our ropes, and we're just sitting here fighting for it. And we don't ever go to people when we have our issues. We don't go to the people who we know would pray for us. We don't go to the people who we know would fast with us. We just want to do it all our own, because we got to a point where we were so focused on getting it done that we forgot what kind of community and everything else that comes in the kingdom. So, and then as we read on, I'm going to skip a little bit because it goes, as we read on, he comes back, the father runs out to meet him, like Jesus would do with us, and they threw a party. So sometimes we forget, but then sometimes we just coast. Sometimes we turn and walk, but then sometimes we coast. And what I mean by coasting and living in the blessing is it is this. When I grew up, and even when I was in high school, I know I probably should have had a job. Don't stay over there. This is why I wasn't happy over here. But I could have gotten a job. I could have done all this. But I had such a mindset that they would take care of it for me that I just coasted. I was just so used to it. Listen, it's not all my fault. It's your fault, too. You were, huh? It's your fault, too. But no, sometimes we get so caught up in the teachings and we get taught really good. Like, we get the word. Because there's been times where I've had talks with other people, and you know, there's some things that we don't agree on, but we still love God and everything. But anyway, so we get to the part in 27. And he said unto them, thy brother is come, thy father has killed the fattest calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, it would not go in. Therefore came he further out and entreated him. And he answered, saying to his father, lo, these many years did I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy livings with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fat calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. So, yes, I took advantage of that. I saw that look. But what I want to get across is the fact that the other brother who stayed, he got into basically what I would think of it as cruise control. He just did everything that he was told and lived the same way he always lived. And when the son came home and he saw the restoration, he saw him being restored and being brought back to the place that he was before he was gone, he got angry and jealous because he thought it was unfair treatment. But then as we read, we see what the father says. He said, you've lived with me. Everything I have is yours. He never took advantage of it. He never accessed it. He never walked in the full blessing of who he was while he was still there because he was so focused on just coasting. So when I read that and I think about that, I think of all the times that, like, to be honest, I coasted in life, and I realized there's so many things I could have done that I haven't, and thankfully God restores me in those, but that's what I wanted to get to with us coasting. We just have to get out of the mindset of everyday life. We have to understand. And I'm going to jump to talking about Joshua and Moses, because this is an example of somebody truly learning. Because one of the things about living in the blessing is that God doesn't just expect us to be blessed and just expect us to coast like the son. When the father said in that moment, everything I have is yours, that meant that the son had every access and every opportunity to not just live in that full blessing, but to expand it, to grow it. So when I think about growing and my father and pastor and a bunch of people always talk about this, And we all have this opportunity because all of you are under my dad and you get to hear what he says. Everything that he teaches, we have this opportunity to not just start, but we have a starting point. And our starting point is somebody's ceiling. Because there's been people that have come before us. There's been people who fought for us. So my starting point in the kingdom was not their starting point in the kingdom. And one of the things that I remember being in a pastor's fast recently, and we were all up there talking, and we were talking about pastor and what he was willing to do for everybody there. And one of the guys said, pastor said to him one time, My desire for you is not to start your church off how I started. My desire for you is to start your church off where I am now and to move forward. So when I read about Moses, now, I'm not going to dig into the whole mess of scriptures between Moses and Joshua because there's a lot. But I'm going to talk about one specific moment that really caught my eye because it helps us see what it's like to learn from somebody else's mistake and not have to go through that same issue. So, if I can remember, numbers 13. Okay. So, Moses, obviously, At this point, he led them out of Egypt, and they're in the wilderness, and they're getting ready to go into the promised land. Now, through all this, the people done seen the water split open. They've seen all this. They've seen the miracles, and they're still complaining. They're still whining, but they get to the point where they're about to go into the promised land, and Moses sends spies. So, and it says, and the Lord spake to Moses, saying, send thou that they may search the land of Canaan that I give unto the children of Israel, and every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. So he ended up sending 12 spies. And as we read on and we read through it, we see that the spies came back with a report that the land was everything that God had promised. But it says in 28, it says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land. And it goes down to where one of the spies, Caleb, says, let's go right now. This is exactly what God had promised. This is exactly what God said. But there were 10 spies that said, no, we can't overtake it because they're too great. And they ended up having to wait in the wilderness. Now, fast forward, we get to Joshua. Joshua was a man who desired God. Joshua was one of the two spies that said, let's go, we can take it, this is our land. Joshua was the one who sat at the foot of the mountain while Moses was up speaking with God because he was hoping to get the crumbs. Joshua ended up becoming the leader because God put him there. And so I'm going to look this up this way because I always forget where this is at. So in Joshua 2, wherever it is, it says, and Joshua the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go, view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. So we see that in this very moment, in the same moment that Moses had, Joshua only sent two. Because Joshua witnessed what happened when they sent the 12. There was only two of them that were wanting it. There was only two of them that said, let's go. They were ready to go. And so when Joshua shows up and Joshua takes command and Joshua's getting ready to send spies, he says, listen, I'm only sending two of you. And as we read, they meet with Rahab the harlot, and they come to find out all the people in there were afraid of us. They were afraid. Now, there ends up being two completely different reports. They're afraid of what's happened because they've heard all the stories of God. But when Moses sent the 12 spies, they never made it to that point. They never made it that far. They probably got there, they saw everything there, and they got scared and said, you know what? We're not going in there. We'll probably get caught. I mean, just off the report, they probably were fearful of even getting seen while they were spying. Like, they were afraid they were going to get captured. The two that Joshua sent, they almost were captured. But they still went and they still brought back the report that's saying, hey, listen, they're afraid of us. All that time spent in the wilderness could have been avoided. But because Joshua was willing to pay attention, to learn, to just be in that presence, even when Moses went up to the mountain, he was there just to learn and to know and to understand, he ended up leading them into the promised land, bringing the walls of Jericho down. And it's just, when it comes to us as Christians, as people serving God, we see miracles, right? We're miracle-seeing people. We're miraculous. We believe on the miraculous, and we take our faith. When we see stuff and the stuff that we've already been through or the stuff that's already been fought for, why would we ever want to backtrack and go back to the beginning? When you see somebody going through a battle and you see somebody going through a struggle and you see them get out of it and they start giving their testimony about how they got out of it, why don't we hold on to that? Hold on to it. Hang on to it. It's not just about somebody coming before you as a parent. It's not just about a brother or sister that went before you. It's about seeing somebody go before you in a situation, in a circumstance, and learning from that. And when you come to that situation, that circumstance, you know how to handle it. You don't have to fight like they fought. You don't have to go through the struggles that they went through. You already know, hey, this is coming on me. I'm starting to feel this. I know that they fasted for this long, so I'm gonna pray and see how long I have to fast. Amen. Or maybe somebody had a cancer. They see how somebody else got healed from it, and they know that, hey, healing's real, healing happens, and they start going to God, and let's say this person had to be prayed for, but let's say God tells you, hey, you gotta praise. You gotta get up and act crazy. They might sit there and be like, well, that's a little out of their comfort zone. But they're going to be encouraged because they already know, hey, if this person was healed by listening to what God said, then I can be healed listening to what God said. And so when we walk out our faith and when we walk forward, and I truly believe that every time, every day we should be growing. But I feel like us as a congregation, because of the way that we're taught, because of the message that we're given, the way that the word's brought to us, the amount of prayer, fasting, and everything that goes into preaching to us, I feel like we should be able to take that, make that our floor, and push forward. Like, this was always my favorite scripture to mess with my dad about, because, oh, wrong second. But in 2 Kings 2, 11 through 14, it says, and it came to pass that they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire are parted, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them into two pieces, And he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Now, I've read the first part because I just like the whole story of Elijah being carried up to heaven. But the fascinating thing about Elijah and Elijah is Elijah went everywhere that Elijah did. He never left his side. He stayed with him. And in that moment, I think okay, I'm not going to talk on it because I forget that part. If he was told to stay back or not. Yeah, see? I thought I was right. I just like to make sure I'm right before I say it. But Elijah was told to not to go with Elijah in the moment that Elijah was going to heaven. But Elijah went anyway because he wanted to be there. And when Elijah went up, Elijah's mantle stayed. And Elisha picked it up.